When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, everybody, it's time for some life lessons with your internet father, Finn McKenty. Today, we're going to talk about the feelings of incredibly deep shame that I have about my teen years and early 20s. And I'm not exaggerating, okay? Like, I know that maybe it seems like I'm roasting myself for the sake of false modesty so that people will tell me that, oh, actually, you're awesome and great. No, I am like genuinely, deeply ashamed of my late teens and early 20s. Today, I'm going to talk a little bit about the many things that I did wrong at that time in my life and hopefully give you a few lessons from it. So a friend of mine sent me this picture the other day. You can see here, this is me, I think in 1997. I'm watching a band called Charles Bronson. I'm pretty sure that this is the More Than Music Fest 1997. This is me here wearing glasses in this red shirt here. You can see I'm wearing these khaki cargo shorts that are down past my knee with these Adidas dad shoes that look like you got them off the clearance rack at Ross, with the Nike socks that are neither high nor low. They're the ones that sort of like come halfway up your ankles. And listen, Ooh, this was a rough one. This was a really, really rough one. I was aware that like I was a dork back then, okay? Like I knew that, you know, I've made lots of jokes before about what a dork I was back then, but I really didn't realize it was this bad. Like this is brutal. I was like, oh my dear God. Just an absolute turbo virgin. I wanted to talk a little bit about this because like legitimately, I made a lot of really, really dumb mistakes back then. And I want to talk about some of those because hopefully, you know, maybe you can learn something from them. And it's really tough to see. Legitimately just made me like cringe and want to crawl under a rock at what a dork I am. So if you wonder why I make fun of people for being nerds and why I've tried so hard, I've tried so hard to warn you all about the dangers of being a turbo virgin that spends all your time and energy going to shows and collecting vinyl. Ask me how I know that this is the wrong path in life. Ask me how I know, okay? So let's talk about this. I collected some thoughts kind of in no particular order here. We're just going to talk about some terrible mistakes that I made during this period in my life. The first thing I want to talk about here, because again, this is just absolutely horrifying to look at myself from back then. I want to just sort of talk about everything that I got wrong at this age, everything that I wish I could sort of go back in time and tell myself. The first one being to get your priorities straight. Meaning that at this time of my life, again, I think I was like 19 in this picture, I did not care about anything other than going to shows and buying records. That's basically my entire existence. That's the only thing I cared about. I went to college for like a quarter when I was 18, and I dropped out after a quarter because I just didn't care. I didn't want to be there. And then I moved to Cleveland and just did nothing but go to hardcore shows for like a couple years. And yes, of course I didn't have a bed frame. Of course I didn't have a bed frame. I didn't have a bed frame. I didn't have like a dresser or anything like that. Exactly. Everyone thought Finn was a hater, but Papa Finn was just protecting us. Legitimately, that's all it is. I don't want you to be like that. Not only did I not have a bed frame, I also didn't have like a dresser or anything like that. I just got these like plastic bins from out behind CVS in Cleveland. They would put out these like plastic bins at night, and I just like stole a bunch of them after they were closed one night, and I put all my stuff like in these plastic bins, just piles of these plastic bins in my room. At the time, I was working at Office Max. And no boob was touched at all. I did touch a couple boobs, God knows how. I didn't really do much boob touching until I was probably like 28 or something like that is when I went on a boob touching spree. When I was 19, there was not a lot of boobs, but there were some boobs being touched, but not many. And so I was working at Office Max and, you know, basically didn't care about anything other than what shows I was going to go to that week. And, you know, tracking down like rare vinyl. That's really all I cared about. Was my goal to be in a band at the time? Not really. I played in a couple bands here and there with, but I didn't really have any goals. You know, I was just going to shows, like that's about it. And I see how much it set me back in hindsight, because I would talk to my friends back home that were now in college, you know, and they were talking about, you know, what they were learning. Like one of my best friends was like going to school for computer science at the time. And I would, you know, call him and talk to about it and stuff. And he would talk about the friends he had at the dorms and the classes he was taking. And I was just kind of like, oh, that sounds cool, you know, but I'm going to these shows. That's cool too. But, you know, after a year or two, I sort of got the sense of like, wow, he's halfway done with college now. And I'm 20 and I really haven't done shit. And I'm starting to be a little bit worried about that. So that's lesson number one, is to get your priorities straight. And also along with that is like, don't let yourself be held back by the judgment or the approval of these people who you think are your friends, but are really not your friends at all. Like all these like punk losers that basically want you to stay a punk loser for the rest of your life. And if you try to do anything with yourself, they talk shit and try to hold you back. Are these people really your friends? That's my question. So for example, I remember after I finally went back to college when I was like 25, and it was way, 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 way harder to do that when I was 25 than if I would have just gone when I was 18, but whatever. I finally graduated. And I got a job working for Abercrombie & Fitch when I was like 30, I think, when I graduated from school. And I was really excited about it. Not necessarily because like I, you know, whatever, had some deep affinity for Abercrombie & Fitch, but because finally this is a job like working for like a company with like a big name, and I was getting paid relatively well. And I was like very excited that like finally I graduated from school and I got this job that was like a big step up. So I told this girl that I knew, you know, that's this like, you know, hardcore girl that I knew, and she was like, ew, don't do that, that's so lame, you know, working for Abercrombie, oh, that's gross, yuck, don't do that. And I was just like, what the fuck, I've been friends with you for years, and finally I get this big opportunity, and all you want to do is tell me not to take advantage of this opportunity because you don't like this brand? Like, if this is a friend, I don't need enemies. All I care about in my 20s is the sports team I supported, but I did everything in my sight to travel to their games. I could have used that money to buy a flat already. That's exactly what I'm talking about. And listen, like, obviously, you know, you should have fun in your 20s. And like, I'm not telling you don't go to shows, don't buy records or whatever. I'm just saying get your priorities right. And your priorities, you know, probably shouldn't be just like consuming music all the time. You know, like you got to build a foundation, because you don't want to wake up, you know, being 30 years old and realizing that you sort of, you know, wasted a whole decade of your life, which fortunately I sort of got things together by the time I was 25 or something like that. But really, it was tough. I had to work a lot harder because of that. So the second thing I would say along with that is like, number one, get your priorities straight. Number two, have a plan for your future. Yeah, have a balance between having fun and important shit. Yes, but you got to do the important shit. It's important for a reason. You can't spend all your time, you know, playing and having fun, or that's going to catch up with you. I realized that, you know, when you're in like elementary school or something like that, people ask you, what do you want to be when you grow up? You talk to kids and they're like, oh, I want to be a writer and I'm going to do this and that. I didn't think about that at all until I was probably 20. Like the idea of what I was going to do for like a career or do with my life, like I didn't think about any of that at all until I was like 20. I was like, oh, I guess I should probably think about what the fuck I'm going to do with my life, shouldn't I? Maybe I shouldn't just go ride my bike to hardcore shows 3 days a week. I should probably do something. My roommate, before I got married, kept telling me to pursue a better job. I was wasting time working the dead-end job, going nowhere. I wish I would have listened sooner. I just started a project manager job at 36. I'm working alongside people who are 23 to 25 years old. That's exactly what I'm talking about, man. And first of all, good for you for, you know, making the most of your situation. But it fucking sucks, right? Like, it feels shitty to be working jobs with people who are 10 years younger than you. It feels shitty, doesn't it? Don't you feel like you're behind where you should be? It sucks. On the one hand, there's no timeline of like where you're supposed to be or anything like that. Like that none of that stuff matters. It's about what potential you have, right? And we all start in a different place. So for example, a lot of people watching this probably didn't necessarily grow up in the best environment, right? Like, you probably didn't grow up with like a super supportive family, you know, with parents who got along really well and coached you and helped you and blah, blah, blah. You didn't grow up that way. You probably grew up with some kind of a dysfunctional family and you kind of didn't really know any, you know, you had to figure this shit out on your own. That's certainly the case for me. You know, when I was like 20 or something, I realized that I needed to have a plan for my life. And so I decided at the time that I wanted to be a graphic designer. That plan changed a lot over the years, but at least it gave me something to work for. You need to have some sort of a plan. Recognize that that plan is going to change over time, and that's totally okay. But at least you have something to work towards. So for me, I decided that I wanted to be a graphic designer because I liked making flyers and zines and shit like that. Starting when I was about 20, I would spend every spare moment that I had teaching myself graphic design. So I managed to save up the money for a computer and, you know, all like every spare moment that I had, I would spend teaching myself design. And I was not especially great at it, and I did a lot of things wrong, but at least I was working towards something. And then eventually I realized I needed to go to school for it, which I did. And then I ended up getting a job as a graphic designer, and then eventually realized I didn't want to do that at all, and I switched my career to marketing, which I liked a lot more. But the point is, at least I had something. The reason that you need a plan is because if you don't have a plan, I mean, think about if somebody dumped you out in the woods and you just started wandering around, well, how would you ever find your way out of the woods? You might, but you might not. And so what you don't want is these situations where you end up having to make up for lost time at an older age, because that means you have to work way harder than you would have otherwise. It sucks. I mean, that's how I felt for a long, long time, is that I had to make up for lost time. For example, you know, when I got that job at Abercrombie, I was 30, 31 when I started. And most of the people who had that job were also right out of school, but they were like, you know, 22, 23 years old. And, you know, that's not the biggest difference, but, you know, it is 7 years. I had the same job at 30 as these people were like 23, fresh out of school. And that sucked. And I've seen a lot of the same thing from people who, you know, even harder is the people, at least I was in school and stuff. There are other people who, you know, you see them wake up at 35 and they've been doing nothing but playing bands and being a bartender or something like that at 35. And they're like, well, I don't want to be a bartender the rest of my life. What the fuck am I going to do with myself? And you can figure it out. For sure, you can figure it out, but it's a lot harder to figure things out at 35 than it is at 20. So my point is, you got to have some kind of a plan. That's my point. And then the third thing after that is, here's something that I believe in very, very, very deeply. I want you to believe this idea that you can and must create your own opportunities. You need to believe that anything is possible. If you set a goal and work towards it, anything is possible. It's interesting that when I say this, a lot of people push back on it and don't want to hear it, because people want to believe that the world is out to get you and want to believe that you're doomed. Like, people are so much happier if you tell them that you're screwed and life's out to get you and, you know, the boomers screwed you, blah, blah, blah. People love hearing that. What they don't like to hear is, actually, you can do it. And you can get your shit together and you can do anything you want. It might be hard, but you can do anything you want. Sometimes you have to cash in your hard-earned skills, even if it's not your life's calling. Don't estimate the skills you've built up over the years. That's right. You're not necessarily, like, it's okay if you're doing something that's not your dream job. It's okay. What I want you to think about is this idea of locus of control. This is something from psychology that's very important. Locus of control refers to the idea of, where do you believe that control over your life comes from? It can either be external or internal. If you have an external locus of control, you believe that your fate is controlled by things outside of you, meaning that basically you're just a powerless victim of fate. If you have an internal locus of control, you believe that you have control over your own fate. And now, obviously, shit happens that none of us can control. You get struck by lightning, you get cancer, blah, blah, blah. But broadly speaking, the happiest people have an internal locus of control because they believe that they have control over their lives. Doesn't mean it's going to be easy, because it's not going to be easy. I have worked my fucking ass off. Like, in the past, whatever, 10 years, there's probably been like 3 days a year that I don't work. Maybe not even three, maybe 1 or 2 days a year that I don't work. My project manager job came around because I started in the HVAC trade as an apprentice and fucking studied my ass off and worked hard to be better than everyone else and get a leg up, make yourself stand up above the rest, and things happen for you. That's exactly right. That's how it works. Manifesting is very real, but it only works when you move.
This is Krista Makes, guitarist and vocalist for Less Than Jake, and host of Krista Makes a Podcast, a songwriting podcast where every week I'm joined by an amazing guest to break down the writing, recording, and release of one iconic song from their career. In our giant, evergreen back catalog of episodes, we've had rock legends such as Dee Snider and Huey Lewis, punk rock favorites like Mark Hoppus, Fat Mike, and Brett Gurewitz, and up-and-coming artists of today such as Liz Stokes of The Beths and Genesis Owusu. We've had guests from all genres and styles of music, and I guarantee that if you peruse our back catalog, you'll see several episodes that'll make you say, "Man, I gotta hear that." Whether you're a fan of music or a creator of music yourself, you'll take away a whole new appreciation for the songs you know and love. Krista Makes a Podcast is available for free on all the places you could possibly listen to podcasts, and new episodes come out every Monday.
Well, hey friends, my name is Zach Lupitin. You may know me from the band Dust Bowl Revival, but I also host a music discovery podcast called The Show on the Road. For the last 5 seasons, I've been able to dive deep and have intimate chats with folks like The Lumineers, Andy DeFranco, Wolf Peck, Keb Moe, Lake Street Dive, Bela Fleck, and more. So guess what? After 150 conversations with some of my favorite songwriters from around the world, we are bringing brand new episodes to the Osiris Network. New interviews and intimate acoustic performances will be coming at you this summer. And which episodes are coming next, you ask?
I am Zach Goody, the lead singer for the band Smash Mouth.
Our band is called Milky Chance. We are based in Berlin.
My name is David Shaw. I sing and write songs with my band, The Revivalists.
Trust me, these conversations go some wild places. So subscribe to The Show on the Road on Osiris, and we'll see you soon.
Move smart and put yourself around good examples of success. This is a really important part of creating your own opportunities, is you've got to be around the right people. If you keep surrounding yourself with these, you know, negative, dysfunctional people that you'll oftentimes find in the music scene, well, guess what? You're going to be just like the rest of them. You don't need to read books, and you don't need to, like, you know, take courses and blah, blah, blah. Like, that stuff, you know, that can be helpful. But what you need to do is just do shit. And I'll give you an example of this for the people who are asking, like, how would I do this? I'll give you an example. Let's say that you want to be a video editor. Okay. Let's say that you have, like, learned how to edit videos in your free time and you want to make a living as a video editor. Well, here's how you would do that. The important thing is that you need to find people who will pay you for this. And you can't just sit back and expect that people are going to come to you and give you work. You have to go get it. And the way that you're going to go get it is very simple. Make a spreadsheet of 500 people that you want to work with. And how would you find these 500 people? Well, you Google it, whether that's companies in your hometown, or if it's companies wherever, like if you're into skiing, if it's ski companies you want to work with, whatever. Make a list of 500 companies you want to work with, and then find a way to contact somebody at these companies. You can look up on LinkedIn. You can find lots of people who work at any of these companies. And now you have a company and you have the contact information of somebody who works at that company. And then spend some time every single day contacting those people. Send them an email, send them a LinkedIn message or DM on Instagram, whatever it is. And say, "Hey, I'm Finn. I'm a video editor. Here's a link to my portfolio. I'm a big fan of your company. I would love to work with you guys. Let me know if you're interested." If you spend an hour or two on that every single day, and you have a list of 500 companies, eventually one of those people is going to say yes. This is just a matter of time. You might have to contact 100 people before they say yes, but somebody will eventually say yes. And then once they say yes, now you're getting paid to do the thing that you want to do. And once one person says yes, then they refer you to other people. You know, word of mouth takes over, blah, blah, blah. This is how the snowball starts rolling. I got my first job in film VFX from doing exactly that. There's a lot of rejections, but it worked out in the end. You can brute force so many fucking things in life by just doing this. Just go down a list and fucking DM people. I've done it many times, many, 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 many times in my career, and I've gotten lots and lots of work from this. It works. I still do it to this very day. I still do it. I did it to somebody, 3 weeks ago for my YouTube coaching program, and she paid me $3,000 because I DM'd her on LinkedIn. I said, "Hey, I saw that you're looking for a YouTube coach. I do that. And here's my program." And she was like, "Cool, let's do it." And she paid me $3,000. That's how you do it. Now, I've done that same thing to other people, and They didn't reply to me. They ghosted me. That's cool. It's not about who says no. It's about who says yes. Okay. So that is how to create your own opportunities. And the fourth thing, the last thing I want to leave you with is to never give up hope. That no matter how bad things are, there is a way out of this. Because I know people that have been in the most fucked up, shitty, down and dirty circumstances that you can fucking imagine. And they all climb their way out of it. For example, my dad retired a while ago after a successful career as a corrections officer. And he's not rich, but him and his wife have plenty of money to live on. They're retired. They're happy. Well, before he was a corrections officer, he was in the Navy. Before he was in the Navy, he was a fucking junkie. Like, my dad was such a bad junkie that he was like shooting up speedballs in his neck. Speedballs like half heroin, half cocaine. My dad was shooting up speedballs in his neck because all the veins in his arms and legs had collapsed. So all that was left was his fucking neck. Okay. That's how like down and out he was. All right. And he turned it around. Another friend of mine went to prison for being involved in an incident in which somebody died, and he got out of prison. And he's doing great, has a daughter, a family, he's doing great. If you put in the work, it's going to be fine. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be fine. I personally never thought that I would have all the things that I do. Like, there was a time when I was 34 years old, everything I owned fit in about 6 cardboard boxes. I had just moved back to Seattle. Like, I didn't have shit. I had like 6 cardboard boxes. That's it in the entire world. And I had maybe like $3,000 in the bank, which at 34 years old is fucking nothing. You know, since then, I got married, bought and sold 2 houses. I paid off all my student loans. I had a baby and I saved up enough money that, you know, I'm going to be good for retirement. I did that in 10 years and I've worked my fucking ass off basically every single day, but it can be done. And I'm only one example of that. There's many, many, many other examples of people who have just been through the most down and out horrible fucking shit. And through a lot of hard work, they turned it around and it's going to be fine. So if you put in the work, it's going to be fine. It's only hopeless if you give up hope. So those are the things that I wish that I could go back and tell myself. But most importantly, good God, man. Good God. What was I thinking? Oh, I want to go back and kick myself in the balls for this. Oh, my God. It's so bad. I'm legitimately so ashamed of this. So there it is, people. Hopefully you can learn from some of my painful, painful mistakes. Do not be a turbo nerd like me. And yes, of course I didn't have a bed frame. Of course I didn't have a bed frame.
Hey, this is Dewey Halpas, host of Peer Pleasure on the Sound Talent Media Podcast Network. Join me each week as I explore another long-form conversation with one of your favorite musicians, actors, comedians, or creatives. From Chino Moreno of the Deftones, John Gorley of Portugal the Man, to Fat Mike from NoFX and Ian MacKay from Fugazi and Minor Threat, we go all over the map. From Fall Out Boy to Slayer, Peer Pleasure has it all. Check us out now on Sound Talent Media.
Welcome to us talking about our podcast for a minute.
What's the name of that podcast?
That's Axe to Grind, and right now you're going to be getting a little taste of it, right down to the shaky microphone and all.
And my name's Bob.
And my name's Patrick, and usually we're joined by Tom.
Tom's the best. Tom has a real grown-up job that requires him to be at work, but we talk about decidedly not-so-grown-up things like
hardcore music and things that people that like hardcore music tend to like.
So that could be the latest shows, revisiting classic material, talking about the new classics, all the little dorm room nonsense that you imagine from a niche music podcast that you either love, want to love, or hate.
Yeah, imagine all the emotions that you have towards a genre that has impacted your life, and then condense them down to an hour to 2 hours a week.
So triangulate your speakers, think about jumping off the bed, singing along, dancing like an idiot, and listen to Axe to Grind Podcast.